You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hello, welcome to another Record Celtic podcast. My name is Daniel Conn. I'm delighted to be joined by Record Sports' Michael Gannon and Graham Young. Guys, how are you both?
Very well.
Oh, very well. Morning, chaps. You feel the festive spirit?
Certainly am, my man. With a nice wee steak pie dinner yesterday at Hamden. That's the start of the festive grub, mate. So we're away now, aren't we? Then we can lose it all in January.
Very much. So I've asked for Santa to leave his trousers for Christmas.
That's quite a good request. I might do that myself.
Don't need to bother with the belt.
Since we last did the Celtic podcast, obviously, the one plus side was that Celtic ended the Champions League hoodoo. They got a win over Feyenoord, which was a really good result, good performance. But probably more pertinently, the game at the weekend, Celtic 0 Hearts 2. I don't even know where to start with, Graham. I mean, you saw the game. Was it as bad as the kind of reaction as would have you believe?
Yes, 100%. I think that's the most galling element, where the performance, even at 0-0, looked off. It looked bad at 1-0 and even worse at 2-0, and then there was no real comeback. Obviously, if you watch maybe 6 minutes of highlights, you'll see a few chances, but it wasn't that type of game. And I think everybody could see quite early on something was going awry, and I think that sums it up, doesn't it? So if you start with St Johnstone half time, blast into the dressing room for Rodgers, and since then, obviously, got a reaction second half against Hibs. But the Kamarnik game, we know what Kamarnik were able to do, and I think all the failings were encapsulated in this one game. It was a litany of errors. There was so many issues in terms of... So Kyogo's, obviously, the lack of goals has been evident, but he wasn't really in a position ever to do anything. Mikey Johnson, be fair to him, that was as bad as it gets for him in terms of all the fears over him as a player came out in that game. He was weak in the tackle, couldn't really beat a man, too easily brushed off the balls. There was problems there. With Callum McGregor, I think everybody's noted on that. He was doing the job of many people. David Turnbull, there's a perfect example of this. Non-fear that he's not fit to play in the Celtic team and contribute in the way, bar the goals. And that was evident, hooked at half-time. The full-backs as well. I don't think Johnson and Taylor were at their best. I don't think they're asked to do, or they're not put in the position they were last season to thrive. The issues are really endless. And I think that a big thing is the substitutes. I think that's becoming a kind of real worry for fans in terms of, I think, to a guy like Paulo Bernardo, I don't think anybody think he's been incredible for Celtic, but he's shown flashes maybe in the Champions League. But then the same player can't play domestically, or is not getting opportunities to play much domestically. Bernabei came off the bench, and it's the same. He really is a careless football player. That's been a really poor signing, because he's never been able to give Greg Taylor... He's not a viable option to push Greg Taylor out of the team. And when he came off the bench, he's playing as a left winger, a bit like Frame was the other night. But he's danger passes inside, and Cal McGregor's having to take a perfect touch with three guys around him. It's just... But that was Bernabei in this case off the bench. In the next game, it'll be someone else. And it'll... There is no... That's the most... Without... I know Rodgers, I think he's pretty honest in his assessment and admitting, apologising to supporters, but there is no structure here. There is no guarantees about the way they're going to play. Things change on a whim. Players, personnel, McGregor's going back, going forward. O-start sometimes, Kyogo's still, even though he's back in the team, there's been no real spark since he's returned. Sometimes football fans, you can make the argument about sack the board chance and Celtic dominance is that. That's a different argument. Purely on the football this season, Celtic fans have got every reason to worry, because there is no cohesion. There doesn't seem like an obvious plan or a way out. I think the performances were of concern before the results started going south, and now that they are, I think it's just maybe reinforcing what the type of things that fans have been worried about all season.
Max, see just on the subs quickly, well, because I'll forget this. Do you think Rodgers is maybe playing a little bit of a game in the sense that I couldn't work out why Bernabeu went on to the weekend either, but was it maybe Rodgers saying to the Celtic hierarchy, look, this is what I've got. These are the players I have. I need improvements.
Well, you can say that using words in meetings and face to face. You don't need to say that in jeopardy. I don't buy this idea that any time Celtic lose under Rodgers, it's a coded message to the board about resources or signings and all that. So I don't get that. I don't think that's... Maybe once or twice you can do that if you're having to call on certain players, but I don't see that as a credible way of operating at any kind of level. Underperforming to show up deficiencies isn't a strategy. There's a league to be won here. There's a bounty at the end of this season, the Champions League next year, which is bigger than ever. Mm-hmm. This is huge. I mean, direct entry into the Champions League, which Celtic should be and need to be and need to do better in as well. So, no, I'm not buying that. That's just that it's some sort of Morse code blinking message to the board. The board are watching the games as well. Celtic just now, the problem now is that if Saturday was a one-off in isolation event, you could go, well, it was a bad day, injuries, etc. Bad day at the office, you could write it off. But it's not. This has been coming for a long time. Rodgers himself said he wasn't surprised. Nobody was surprised because it's been coming. The performances this season have not been very good. I mean, there's been a couple of high points, played decent against Hibs at home, the Aberdeen game. It's a bit weird, actually, they haven't scored three goals in the last 90-odd minutes to put a right shine on it. But there's not been enough. I mean, the Rangers result was huge. I'll beat that game because it was a knife edge all day. But the performances in general haven't been great. A couple of things, Champions League, a couple of bits here and there that have been decent, Champions League, a couple of good goals, Champions League, a couple of good combinations. But in general, it's been pretty poor this season. Bounced at the League Cup, the first hurdle. They haven't sat back and watched the big rivals winning the trophy on Sunday. We know the summer was a shambles. I mean, the recruitment in the summer will go down as one of the worst summers they've ever had in terms of recruitment. I mean, 10 players brought in. To me, I don't think any of them are much cop. Lewis Palmer just about gets pass marks, I think, because he's got a whip on him in terms of a delivery and a goal on him. But he doesn't particularly fit the way Celtic need to play. He's not a man that hits the byline particularly. He's not really that quick. But we'll give him a place in the squad, I think. I think he'd be a guy. He's very much, to me, a bit like Haksabanovic. Is he better than Haksabanovic? Maybe marginally, I don't know. Haksabanovic, who's now currently on loan, bizarrely, another weird decision that was made by the club this year. A guy who's had the ability to make things happen at times. When you see the players that are playing this season in wide areas, is he better than Yang? No contest. Better Mickey Johnson? No contest. James Forrest, who I think is a tremendous servant, would he be getting a game ahead of Haksabanovic this season? Doubt it. The mistakes that get made this season are actually unfathomable, what they've done this. If you go from a position of strength, listen, I get it, you lose Jota, huge loss. Absolutely huge loss to the team. And you're not going to replace Jota. You just don't, right? But you need to try to get something as close to that as you can. Didn't do it. Guys like Marco Tellio, who knows? A couple of times. I mean, he spent less time in the pitch than the mascots so far. So we don't know. But who knows? Running about the last 10 minutes of games a couple of times, he's not going to show us what he's got. We have to assume he's not got enough to push for the squad yet if he can't get past Mickey Johnson and Yang. It's unbelievable that Celtic are putting out a team like they did the weekend, given the strength we're in the summer. Really is unbelievable. And listen, you can say that the recruitment is not the manager's responsibility. Sorry, rubber stamps all the deals. They're not having that. It came in June. I can get why he would distance himself from the signings, but the manager always guys can't. If you come in October and you're left with another manager's team, you can say, yeah, I didn't buy these guys. But you're in charge, you buy them. Unfortunately, that's on the manager. The recruitment department have to offer up better alternatives, But it's everyone to blame for that, not just one area of the team. The team itself, as an eight of that team on Saturday were involved in a treble-winning team last season, should do better. I've got some sympathy for guys that are the kind of stalwarts, the guys like your McGregors, your Harts, Greg Taylor, Cameron Carter-Vickers, Kyogo. These guys are trying to carry the team and make up for the deficiencies in other areas. And it's clearly weighing on them very heavily. So that's maybe perhaps why they're not cutting it. But you can't see any, you can't really see what they're trying to do at the moment. They're caught between styles. Are they going for a new style or are they reverting back to the old style? It's, at the moment, it's neither. And I say we've had this evidence, we've seen it all season. I mean, this is not a one-off. I mean, saw it against Hibs away, St Johnstone at home, Motherwell at home, St Johnstone away for 45 minutes. Saw it Kilmarnock in the cup. I say Europe hasn't been good enough. I mean, you can dress that up. I mean, this thing about they played well in spells in Europe, it's not cutting it. Celtic get the easiest Champions League group they could ever wish for. None of the guys in that group are going to win the Champions League. Every group's got a team in it that wants to win the Champions League. None of these teams in that group are going to win the Champions League. None of them are even going to come close to win the Champions League. Mm-hmm. So this was a night. If we're ever going to get to the knockout stage of the Champions League, which, by the way, in these days is a nigh impossible feat, if they're going to do it, they get a group like they got this year. But they went into that group ill-prepared, ill-equipped. Yeah, I take the point. Injuries did not help, right? That didn't help. But it wasn't so long ago when people would say, we don't know Celtic's strongest starting 11 because the bench is so strong. Whereas now, you don't even know what can make up a starting 11 because it's so weak. And how they got to that position is actually unbelievable.
No. And Graham, Roger said, obviously, I think it was the St Johnstone game, the first half, was the angriest he'd ever been in his managerial career. At full time at the weekend, he looked absolutely livid. But as Mick says, surely he has to... He has to take his brunt of the blame as well. I mean, he's talked about he needs quality and stuff, but there's plenty of time in the summer to get it right, surely.
Yeah, I think quality's been the word, hasn't it? Non-stop, quality, and it's obviously anything but quality that they have. But I think there is a balance here in terms of Rodgers. So there would be sympathy. I get Mick's point about he's the final man that signs off players, but one bad window doesn't make a manager, so to speak. But with Rodgers, there's been, I think there is the point Mick made there about caught between styles. That's what it feels like. You still see fullbacks inverting, but I don't think they're inverting for the reasons they did last year. They open teams up, but it's not the same. Nothing looks the same. And I think you're saying he was livid, St Johnstone. I think there's been like disappointment in the Kilmarnock game, or like, and there was maybe a resignation to their fate almost on Saturday. Like, it was a really tough words as well. Like, I think it was quietly the way, it wasn't some grandiose statement about that's the angriest I've ever been, but just very clearly saying what upset him. He only named a couple of players that for pass marks. Made the point very clearly that Cal McGregor was doing more than one person's job, and David Turnbull comes off at half time, so I don't think you need to be Poirot to work out what the issue was there. And I think the problem is, well, Cal McGregor was really good after the game where he said we need to find quality. Again, I know he's echoing his manager, but I'm not saying it was off the script, but Cal McGregor's the ultimate club man, isn't he? He speaks on behalf of the club, but I felt there was an appreciation for the captain, for a manager who's served him well for a long time in two spells, that this is it. You need to find, if we don't find the missing parts, the Starfelts, the Jotters in January. Well, Starfelt probably, defence has actually been, but that's another issue in itself with Narocci. Is he better than Scales? Can he push? Do you settle for Scales or can Narocci come in? But it's very apparent for manager, captain, supporter, anyone, that this is fixable, but it has to be fixed as well in the most extreme way, like proper quality signings. But does that, the other argument straight on top of that, does that fix the tactical issues? Will two really good signings mitigate all the problems that have been shown in the first half of the season? I think that's the biggest unknown for Celtic now. Because let's be honest, Philippe Clement's come in at Rangers and he's just a calmness, getting things working. I think that Betis performance let's be honest, that's the ultimate mark of him as a manager. There was a proper skeleton squad going over there and win the game like that, and then that's obviously pushed into the final. Celtic know they're in a title race, and now it really is the time to get it right in the transfer window. They have to find something to really alter the kind of trajectory of this season.
I mean, we obviously saw during the game as well, Mick, that it was the board during the game getting a lot of the stick. And you can kind of see why. We've mentioned them in this podcast, players like Jota, even players like Aaron Moy, Rogic as well, Starfelt. These players all started every week last season, pretty much. And none of them have been replaced adequately. They've all been replaced with, you know, project players. I mean, can you understand?
This is what I think. But that's all. That's not a new thing. They still spent £20 million in the summer.
You can't.
I mean, £4 million for Naroski, £3 million for Lagerbelka. I mean, they're expensive projects. The rest are £1 and £2 million guys that are punts that they always make, and some of them come good. Listen, it's not about the project. It's about the player. I mean, Matt Riley arrived for 1.5 from MK Dons in the January. By the way, he was second choice. Celtic were after Riley. Is it Riley McCree? Went to Middlesbrough.
The
Aussie boy.
Aussie boy.
Quite close to getting him. Didn't get him. And then went and got Riley instead. And he's turned into, he will make Celtic probably £20 million plus when he got this go. Maybe in the summer. I hope not January. So the projects, it's not about this project player. It's just signing players. And Celtic I've not always just signed £1 and £2 million players and hope for the best, right? They spent £6 million on Carter Vickers and £6 million plus on Jota on the same window. Mm-hmm. They spent Rodgers' his first spell, spent £9 million on Odson Edward, a project, but a higher level project. So they spent £7 million on Christopher Julien. The money is there to be spent on decent players. They will have went for players in the summer of a higher bracket and they didn't get them. That's a problem. What the problem then becomes is they didn't get option 1, 2, or 3. They didn't go from the £6 million target to the next £6 million target and get one of those guys in that bracket. They just got, the majority of players they got were in the bottom bracket of the kind of punts, which are fine if that's to supplement the squad rather than improve the team. They did not improve the team. And as the longer the window went on, I'm surprised they didn't do better business towards the end of the window. I mean, they brought in Paolo Bernardo on loan. For some reason, seems to be played in Europe, but not so much in the home games. If he's not got the tools to compete in Scotland, what set of data or scouting assumed that he'd be good enough then? Again, it's back to the kind of haphazard recruitment of the summer. It's like, what if that? If he isn't equipped for Scotland, the vast majority of games are in Scotland. The key to the Champions League fortunes are in Scotland. If he's no use in Scotland, he's no use, period. Mm-hmm. So I don't understand. Nat Phillips came in as an emergency kind of loan during a period when the injuries came in injured. So what was the point? Also, not great at short-range passing. Turns out not great at much at Celtic so far. What was the thinking behind that one? Now they've got 7 centre-halves and probably one of them is acceptable at this point in time. Bizarre decisions getting made. I don't know if it was an underestimating of what was required. I've got a wee bit of sympathy for the Celtic board. Listen, they made mistakes in certain things and this ongoing row with supporters. I get all that and I get that frustration. But handing a manager £20 million in the summer to go and build a team, I don't think there's that much wrong with that. I think the fact they've got a lot of money in the bank, and I think this summer the board strategy had to shift in the summer. I think that's why the frustration of the board is there, because Celtic have been dominating Scottish football for a decade plus. They've won everything in sight most seasons. They can't really complain it doesn't go right, and there's a long way to go at the season. But if you're sitting with that kind of money in the bank, it was a big opportunity for Celtic. The Champions League doors were starting to close again in terms of automatic qualification. They had to raise the levels in the summer. They had to buy better players to improve the team from last year, to compete better in Europe, to make sure they're in Europe next year for the big shake-up for this new group stage, to make more money, to reinvest it, and get on this virtuous cycle of taking the team to different levels. If you don't get better, if you stand still, you're going backwards in football. It's certainly going backwards at a rate of knots, but they missed the opportunity in the summer to really put the foot down and build something that would endure for a longer period of time. And now they're in a position they have to scramble to claw back to where they were 12 months ago. And listen, that's what happens in football. Nothing is certain, nothing's guaranteed. It's not a linear process with any club. They can arise and fall, squad changes, players go, players come in. Some are good, some not so good, some are fantastic. And at least it's not an exact science. But I think Celtic fans are frustrated, and I can agree with it to a point that the chance was missed in the summer to really hammer home the advantage and take the club up a level. And I think when Brendan Rodgers came back in, punters thought, well, here we go. They've made a serious appointment. Forget all the stuff about the folk moaning about Rodgers in the last time and all that stuff. That was all petty nonsense, right? They went and got a manager pedigree. You think, this is it. This is the time they're going to push on and capitalise from position of strength. And they haven't.
Mm-hmm. And that's so true as well, Mick. See, you're talking about the seasons. Celtic have been so dominant for so long. But if this season goes awry, what two seasons to get it wrong? 10 in a row season, missed opportunity. In the new Champions League next season, it's unbelievable how much it's changing. So you get two extra games, more money, and it does open up because you're playing eight different games. So if you go in a group, I think Celtic have been pretty fortunate the last two Champions League groups, right? But the luck could happen for a third time. They could play maybe two or three teams. They're all for different seedings, but you might just get certain teams out of form. A manager's just been sacked, or what? There's an opportunity. If you finish in that top 24, you're guaranteed two more games, which makes it 10. That's the equivalent of reaching the quarter-final stages now. It's an incredible opportunity. So even now, you talk about missing the chance this summer. It's Celtic, after all these years of dominance, and Peter Law being a member of the European Association and being aware of the kind of shifting sands in European football, if they didn't even get the chance, if they miss out on Champions League automatically or through the qualification process, it'd be such a missed opportunity for such a long period of sustained dominance to then hand it to Rangers, in the sense that Rangers then push on and get their opportunity to go for it as well. So that's why it's so important, and I don't think there can be any other outcome bar a real reaction in January in terms of transfers, because this is what Celtic have been building. Well, you say they've been building towards, and they still probably don't set themselves up for this season's Champions League, or arguably last, but it would be an incredible missed opportunity if they don't get that chance to go in a kind of a new Champions League, the first voyage of it, and see what it offers for them.
I mean, listen, there's a long way to go in the title race, and I still think that Celtic have got a guy in charge who knows what to do, what needs to be done. I think that's a big bonus for them. But I do think it is quite incredible that Celtic are in danger of going behind, getting into the new year against a Rangers team who now got a trophy on the sideboard, who binned their manager already this season. They were in such a poor state, they binned their manager. And then within a couple of short months, they're within striking distance of going top, and they've got the first leg of a potential treble. And it's mind-blowing to get to that stage at this stage.
That is mad.
The frog march a manager off the premises not so long ago. It was that bad. So, there's a lot of work to be done. And January is a really hard market as well. So it's, but it's, you get the sense that it's all kind of self-inflicted with Celtic at the moment. Listen, the other side of the coin is they are still top of the league and all that kind of stuff, and a long way to go. But major, major work required the next few weeks.
See, the one area of the team that I think stands out to a lot of people is the striking department. I mean, Kyogo, we all know, top class player. He's a hero to the Celtic fans, but he's obviously out of form at the minute. He's, for whatever reason, he's got one goal in 12 games. And I get I'm asking you both to kind of get your crystal balls out, but do you think this reaction will spark a big change in January? Do you think Celtic, if the player is there, will go above and beyond? Graham, I mean, you mentioned it there, that it might, but do you think it will?
I think it's a necessity to do so, but as Mick points out there as well, January is brutal. it's a month of loans, isn't it? It's like when you find players on the fringes of Premier League squads and they fit a profile. I think for these guys, the £5-6 million players that Celtic want to sign, like the emerging European talents, I think Narocci, for all he's not played, would fit that profile if he comes to pass and makes a grade. But I think the fee paid for him would fit that kind of optimum Celtic profile. For those type of players, it's hard to get in January. It really is. It's difficult deals to do. I know there's been the left-back Thiago Araujo and Estoril. He seems to that type of player. He's of that kind of fee as well. So maybe he is one. But I think it is a necessity. It's got to be done. There's no... Whatever it takes to get it over the line has to happen, because the squad has been old. Look at already here. The injury list as well, that's another maybe slight misnomer, where there's not been as... It's never been 10 or 12 players out. There's always been a couple of key players out. But really, that maybe shows the failings in the squad as well, where when a Maid is out, there's opportunities for a Mikey Johnson or a Yang, and it's not worked at all. And I thought Mick's assessment of Palma was pretty fair. I think Celtic fans want to will Palma into existence in terms of his ability. There has been plenty of moments and really good crosses, clever assists, good goals. But I think over a full game, I think that lack of pace as well is noticeable. And I think Celtic really a wide player and a striker now as well. And for a long time, I was probably dismissive of the need. I thought of Kyogo, Ozil, but it's not happening right now as well. So I think that's three areas of the team. I think left back's vital. I know there's been a long push for Joe Hart for a new number one. I think that has to happen. But I think Hart's form's been pretty good. I know I seen him getting some flack for the Kingsley goal being too far, but he made a lot of good saves. He's made a lot of good saves against Feyenoord. I think he's had a pretty decent couple of weeks. So I think that's maybe something else that might have to wait again. But the need's there. And as Mick says, the league's definitely not over. Far from it. Obviously, they're up 5 points, even with games in hand. They beat Rangers and the narrative shifts again. That's the way Scottish football works. But there's a feeling that's real about the Celtic team amongst supporters and onlookers that it's been something's not working and it has to be addressed, and this perfect opportunity to do so when the window opens.
It's personnel. It's down to personnel. I mean, Kyogo's not getting the goals, but he's not getting the supply that he got in the last couple of years. So they're not hitting the byline anymore. There's not enough. I mean, I think a guy like Arthur Johnson is a pretty decent player, but he's not dynamic enough in the final third for Celtic. He's not done assists all season. Celtic fullbacks need to have assists. They need to be hitting the byline. I mean, even during Rodgers' first spell, have a look at the goals that Dembele scored for Celtic, right? About half of them are from cutbacks from the byline by Kieran Tierney, hitting the byline and getting the ball back across the six-yard box and cut him folding off and putting it back in the net. And by the way, the same with Kyogo. Many goals he scored in the last two seasons, cutting across that near post, getting a ball, whipped across from a tight angle. It's not happening as much this season because it's personnel. The fullbacks, that's not. I think Greg Taylor has been a great Celtic player. I think he's still got a very big role to play. I think the burden on him is too much. He's playing too often. Last year he played a lot through the injury as well. He could do with help, basically. I don't think he needs... He needs competition, he needs help, I think, as well. The other side, I think, is a back quality required. I don't think Juranovic has been replaced. I think he's a better option in the final third. The wingers, Abada's not there, who could hit a byline. Obviously, Hatate's a big miss as well, but Hatate wasn't playing at the start of the season either. So it's a personnel thing as much as anything. You can only play... I'm loath to use the old old Dick Campbell line. You can only pee with the you've got. As I said, there's a bit of that. See, I didn't say it. I'm going to beat myself out. But there's a bit of that with Celtic. And so I do have a bit of sympathy for Rodgers in that respect, because he's trying to get opportunities, guys, but they may not get the talent set to do it. And it's affecting guys like Kyogo. He's not a guy, not a great guy for getting involved in the game anyway. Never has been. But give him a couple of chances and he'll take one of them. But he's not getting the chances at the moment. He's not getting three or four or five great chances a game, maybe one or two. And it's definitely having an effect on the team in general. But these are areas that need to be addressed.
See, to finish, guys, I think we touched on it a minute ago there. This could all flipping its head again, because Celtic, of course, are playing Rangers on the 30th. Before then, they've got Livingston at home. Livingston haven't scored a goal in seven games, which is pretty remarkable. And Dundee away, which won't be easy. They're having a really good season under Tony Docherty. But this could all change in its head. I mean, Rangers are on a high at the moment. Yeah, they've got the trophy and that. But that Rangers team is no great... That Rangers team isn't a great team. Celtic should still easily... I don't know. I don't know what I'm trying to say. Celtic, I would make favourites for the league personally still at the moment. Sorry, I know, put you both in the...
I think I take your point. There's a lot can change. I think a lot could change. I mean, Celtic could quite easily go and take 6 points from six. That Livingston game is going to be one of those horrible Christmassy games, isn't it? Right. It's going to be freezing cold and it's like scratching it up. The folk going Christmas shopping, the empty seats and all that stuff. And that's going to be all those horrible, horrible afternoons. You can just see that one just now. And I think they could go and scratch out a result. Rangers have got momentum now, confidence. It's a whole new ball game now. Plus, that game's become dangerous because if Celtic, if it's not going well in that game, having a full house to yourself is great when you're flying. I mean, Celtic, when they won the games 4-0 and 3-0 in front of full houses and all that stuff, there's party atmosphere. That's all very well and good. But it goes wrong. We saw it across the city. When Celtic won, the place went toxic. Mm-hmm. That could quite easily happen as well if it doesn't go well in that game. But they could get through it. But it still would be papering over the cracks because there's still so much work being done. And like you say, these are not what... It's not a one-off and it's happening every second week. So it won't change anything. And they've got to assume that Rangers are going to kick on and improve as well their squad in January. I mean, they've also got the carrot at this Champions League next year as well. And they now believe they're in a fight for the title, having pretty much thought in September this year was a write-off. Pretty much writing it off. Same as last season, almost writing it off. In that stage, thinking, well, it's not going to happen this year. We'll give the guy a chance to find his feet and then challenge next year. Whereas now it's a live fight. Mm-hmm. At the moment, Celtic look fairly ill-equipped for it.
Aye. I mean, I think to finish off, guys, I think whatever happens, it won't be boring. I dare say we'll be back next week with another festive edition of the Record Celtic podcast. Mick Graham, it's always a pleasure. Thanks very much for joining us. And I should say for everyone listening, you can find the latest Celtic news on Record Sport Online. Thanks very much for listening. Cheers.
Thank you.